You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, episode number 869.
You try to do it, and you do it honestly. You can't control people's responses, really. Edgar Wright.
Broadcasting from the back alley in Hollywood, it's the Indie Film Hustle Podcast, where we show you how to survive and thrive as an indie filmmaker in the jungles of the film biz. And here's your host, Alex Ferrari.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Indie Film Hustle Podcast. I am your humble host, Alex Ferrari. Today's show is sponsored by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, how to turn your independent film into a profitable business. It's harder today than ever before for independent filmmakers to make money with their films, from predatory film distributors ripping them off to huckster film aggregators who prey upon them. The odds are stacked against the indie filmmaker. The old distribution model of making money with your film is broken, and there needs to be a change. The future of independent filmmaking is the entrepreneurial filmmaker or the filmtrepreneur. In Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, I break down how to actually make money with your film projects and show you how to turn your indie film into a profitable business. With case studies examining successes and failures, this book shows you the step-by-step method to turn your passion into a profitable career. If you're making a feature film, series, or any other kind of video content, the Filmtrepreneur method will set you up for success.
The book is available in paperback, ebook, and of course, audiobook. If you want to order it, just head over to www.filmbizbook.com. That's filmbizbook.com.
Enjoy today's episode with guest host Dave Bullis.
So on today's show, once I heard of the movie, I knew I had to see it. And once I saw it, I knew I had to talk to the guys who made it. So on today's show, I have one of those guys. The movie is Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. Yes, you heard me correctly. And the guy is Michael Rousselet. Michael is not only one of the writers and directors of Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, but he's also the main reason that The Room was such a cult hit. Because without him actually finding it and writing all about it and telling everyone to go see it, The Room probably would have died out. So this guy has gotten himself into the cultural zeitgeist just by finding The Room. So here we go with Michael Rousselet. Hey, Michael, I want to say thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing out there at, what are you in L.A., right?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm out in L.A. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I'm in sunny California, although I think it's kind of raining right now, so that's really nice.
You know, it's snowing right here in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's beautiful. You should send some of that back. Put it in an envelope and mail it.
Oh, you know, that's a good idea. I could make like $1 million off
this. selling snow in that.
It's funny, I was actually out in this, and like every time I had to step foot outside, it was getting worse and worse. And I was like, it's like a sitcom where the guy goes inside and it's like, it starts to ease up just a tad. And as soon as he's getting ready to leave, it just comes down even harder.
Great.
So Michael, you know, I wanted to get started, you know, by asking about your background. You know, I always ask this one question, and that is, did you go to film school?
Yes, I did go to film school. I've been making short little films ever since I got my hands on my dad's little video camera in high school. And yeah, I was just making stuff all through high school and went to film school at USC in the screenwriting program.
So when you were shooting stuff, you know, growing up, were you shooting it on all sorts of like different formats like VHS and I'm sure, you know, other formats are escaping, like mini DV and stuff like that?
Yeah, there was one of the really old cameras. It was kind of, I can't remember the name of it. It was like this mini VHS. It was to play it on a VCR, you had to put the really tiny VHS into a bigger VHS to play it on the VCR. It's basically that camera that Marty McFly has in Back to the Future 1, that little red guy. And that's actually in Dude Bro. So that's, I guess, kind of how I started. Was with that camera, and then you know I moved up to mini DV, and it was like high 8 mini DV, and not as fucking badass and sexy as the cameras are now. You know, it's like God, you know, I feel like an old man. It's like goddamn, your kids in high school with your, you know, red epics and phantom cameras and 4K and 8K, it's nuts. Shit looks great now, but everything that you know kids growing up are shooting, it looks a professional quality.
Yeah, seriously, it's even Even like fight videos you see, and some guy just pulls out his phone.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, where, my God, the quality is amazing. I can read like the stuff in the background. Like it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, I remember that we were talking about, I think that was called VHS-C. And
yes.
I think that was where you needed the bigger VHS to put it in, almost like a ship.
Yeah. 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 That's what I started shooting on. You know, my dad would just take home videos and he let me run around with the camera. And I just thought it was a lot of fun. Originally growing up, I wanted to be a doctor. So I studied medicine and I saved up and bought a skeleton, like a anatomical, like a medical, like, not a real one, but a fucking, a full, like 5.5 foot tall skeleton pulling weeds out of the backyard. And I had that in my room growing up. It's kind of an odd kid, but I've always been a fan of horror films in the macabre. So I thought it was kind of funny and soothing to have. And as I grew up and got older, I felt, I was like, medicine and surgeries, it's too serious for me. I don't want to have that responsibility. So my other passion was films and movies. So I thought that would be safer instead of, you know, put a camera in my hand instead of a scalpel.
You know, I actually have a friend of mine who graduated with an MD for spinal surgery. He was going to be an orthopedic surgeon. And he started doing his residency and decided he wanted to be a screenwriter.
Amazing.
I ended up meeting him through the through a TV pilot program, and we just got to talking. I'm like, "What? You were an orthopedic surgeon?" And he's like, "Oh yeah." He's like, "I can actually go right now. I'm board certified." He's like, "I'm certified in everything." Like they were calling him to ask him if he could come in and do, like, "Hey, could you come in to do some surgery on the 9th?" He's like, "No way. You kidding me?"
Oh my God.
So
he's just racking up student debt. When I grow up, I just want to have debt. I'm going to go to med school and not be a doctor. Then I'm going to go to film school and, you know, just keep. Oh man, that's wild. Hey, good for him. Follow your dreams.
And so, you know, when you're in, you went to film school.
Yes.
And you went to USC for screenwriting, you said?
Screenwriting. Yeah. I actually didn't get accepted the first time I applied. I was an idiot and I only applied to one college out of high school. I was like, it's USC or nothing. And I totally didn't get in. I was like, ah, shit. And so then I went to a community college for a couple of years to build up some credits to transfer into like a UCLA or UC program college. And then I decided to apply to USC again out of spite. And everything I wrote was pretty cynical and not, I wouldn't say condescending, but I definitely had a sharp tongue and opinion about some things. I was like, here you go, here's your fucking application. And I got in, and I was like, what the fuck? That was super weird.
Did they say anything to you about it? Did they say, Michael?
No, you don't get any feedback on what you write. You just get, you know, I mean, I guess the best feedback you can get in is getting accepted. So yeah, I did that, and I think the best experience, you know, the best thing I got out of film school was meeting all my friends who I continue to make films with. And I think, you know, you don't need to go to film school to make movies. It helps. But the most important thing is meeting people who are just as passionate and crazy